I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go. Father
God, I am from the Lighthouse Chapel International. Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Right. Then the next one we went to from there was attempt to do business in great waters, isn't it? This one has to do with attempting to become a missionary. Hallelujah. Yes, and you can become a missionary. You can become a missionary. Hallelujah. You can live your life in another country altogether, just for the sake of the Lord. Amen. Many people live their entire lives in another country for the sake of money. Yeah, for the sake of money. And in fact, many times, they don't really wind up with a life that is so, so drastically different from what they would have had wherever they are from. Do you see? Yeah. See, sometimes it's only that you are leaving early. What I mean is that things will get better. It's not that you are poor where you are, but it was the stage of your life. You would be poor in any part of the world where you are at that stage. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, if you lived in India or lived in Germany or lived in Austria or lived in New Zealand, you would still be poor because of the stage of life where you are at. Do you get it? Yes. So as you go on and you grow and you mature and as you serve the Lord and things do improve. Do you understand? You sow seeds, which, like we read, it groweth. And at a point, you begin to reap from the seeds that you have sown. And when it's time to reap those seeds also, regardless of where you live, you will find that you are actually being blessed and you're flourishing and doing well. Are you hearing me? So it's not so much where you live, per se. It is what you have sown and what you're reaping that makes the difference. Hallelujah. Yes. And so people do that. People travel for money, for more money, and so on. But we can also choose to live our lives in a country, a different place, for the sake of the gospel. Amen. Even if you're not a full-time missionary, you can be a missionary who is a lay missionary. Do you understand? Yes. Whichever way it is, it's just transporting the life that you would have lived somewhere else to another place to live that same life. If it's school teaching that you like to do, great. Instead of teaching in a school in one place, you can teach in a school in another place and still be a school teacher. But in addition to that, you get to establish something great for the Lord, which one day might become what you're doing full-time with your life. Do you see what I'm saying? And there are so many dimensions to it. Some missionaries even start schools and so on and so forth. And some of these schools end up becoming the greatest schools in the countries where these schools are found. Hallelujah. Yeah. And people have become great trying to do something for the Lord. So it is something you must think about. Hallelujah. You can become a missionary. Amen. Yes, you can become a missionary for Jesus Christ, and it is a great thing, and it will be a blessing to you. Hallelujah. I was surprised to find out, someone showed me recently, that in terms of immigration and naturalization in this country, one of the things that they consider how do I even say this? People who do missionary, citizens who do missionary work abroad. Do you see? The government allows their spouses to become naturalized citizens without requiring them to remain in this country continuously. I don't think you understand it because you don't have an immigration problem. But if you had immigration issue or naturalization issue, you will understand what I'm saying very quickly. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that I was surprised that it's one of the things. It says clearly, mission. El Pakistan, what it says, it's missionary. Yes, it's missionary. Said, wow, this is one of the things the government respects. That the person has gone, the person belongs to a church here, do you see, and the person has gone to another place to become a missionary for that church. And the government says, for doing that, your spouse can become a citizen in that place. It's a blessing. Yeah. These are the things in the roots of this country. Yeah. So when people start tearing things apart, they don't even know what they're doing. But these are the reasons for some of the blessings in this place and on this country. Amen. All right. So you can tell your neighbor you can become a missionary. You can become a missionary. Hallelujah. All right. Now, today I'm just going to share briefly with you. I'm just going back to one chapter that I sort of skipped. Attempt to build a great house. Attempt to build a great house. Amen. And I think in this church, we need to attempt to build a great house. Amen. Attempt, try. No, nothing to lose. You just try it. Amen. So, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Amen. Father, we pray for your blessing again on this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That means anyone who calls himself a Christian must separate himself from evil and the continuous practice of sin. Amen. Must live righteously, try to live righteously, try to do the right thing because you are a Christian, whether people are watching or not. Do you understand? Yes, it's always okay to do the right thing. It's always okay to abstain from evil. Not just that you do the right thing because someone is watching or someone is looking at you or that you will get caught and that there will be consequences you don't want. But even if there will be no consequences, learn to do the right thing all the time. Amen. Because you're called Christian. And that's what the Bible is saying here, right? Then it says in the next verse, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Amen. So attempt to build a great house. What is a great house? Right there, the verse is telling us what you find in a great house. And it says, a great house is a house with many vessels. Amen. A great house is a house with what? Many vessels. What are vessels for? Vessels are containers. Containers, right? And the more containers you have for anything, the more of that thing you can have. Do you get it? For example, the more of, maybe you don't know this, but I grew up in a place where sometimes the water won't run, you know, continuously. And so you needed to have vessels where you would store the water. You know, whenever the water ran, you would store the water and use it over the period until the next time it ran. You know, could be a day or two, all the way up to maybe a week, perhaps even 2 weeks sometimes. Yeah. You see, so different things. But basically, your capacity for storage really depended on the number of vessels that you had. You get it? And their sizes, of course. You see, so if you had more vessels, you could store more water. You know, so one time in the Bible, when I believe it was the prophet Elisha or so, who had encountered a widow, and the widow said she had nothing except some oil, you know, that she had. Then the prophet was anointed to be a blessing to her. So the prophet told the woman to go and borrow vessels from her neighbors. And he specifically said, borrow not a few. Do you get it? Yes. Because what I'm about to do depends on how many vessels you have to contain the blessing. That I'm about to bless you, but the vessels that carry the blessing are going to limit it. If you have two, you will be restricted. But if you have more vessels that can contain that same blessing, then there you can have actually more blessings than you otherwise would have had. Hallelujah. Right. So the woman went and she borrowed a lot of vessels, and she brought them to the house. And when she brought them, Elisha started pouring out the oil. The blessing just started to flow. 2 Kings chapter 4, let me just read it to you. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servants did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. You see, these are Christians who borrow. Christians who owe money. Okay. So it says, thy servant did fear the Lord, but he had this problem. And now the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Look, anyone who is owing any money, believe God. Lift up your hand with me right now. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ and declare this church debt free by the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the blessing of being a lender be upon your people, instead of the curse of being a borrower, in the name of Jesus. May your people not borrow. May your people not borrow. May your people not owe any money. Yes, supernaturally wipe out debts in this church, in the name of Jesus. And let it be replaced with the blessing of having more than enough, and even ready to lend to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right. If you believe that prayer, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Right. So Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and shall set aside that which is full. Right? Verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Can you see that? Yes. There is not a vessel more. No more vessels. In other words, the oil keeps flowing until the vessels run out. Do you get it? Until there are no more vessels to contain the oil. Then the oil stops flowing. Right. So back to our message. Our message is saying that the great characteristic of a great house is that people who are vessels that can contain the graces, the blessings, and the things that the house has to offer are multiplied. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. So in a great house, for example, a great house is a house with many pastors. That means the number of people who can contain the pastoring grace are a lot. Amen. So when our church becomes a church with, I'm talking about the UD as a whole, becomes a church with thousands of pastors, that is a great house. It is a great house because there are many vessels. There are many pastors. There are many people who can preach. There are many people who can teach the word of God. Now, in this church, in this local church, there must be an attempt to become a great house. Isn't it? And if we are going to become a great house, then it means we must have more vessels, more people who can contain the oil. What do you think? Yes. More people who can contain the oil. And I dare say that there are people who can contain the oil if they were given the opportunity, and I will give you the opportunity. Can I have an... Oh, you should clap your hands. Oh, you're thinking, yeah, they are coming to worry us. So. They are coming to worry us. Amen. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Oh, the other part I didn't share with you is that what Elisha poured into the vessel was worth money. You didn't see that. If you had seen that, you would have added yourself to the vessels. Yes. It was worth money that canceled debts. Just being a vessel that received the oil made you capable of canceling debts. That's it. Yeah. So don't even start thinking they are coming to worry us. They are rather coming to wipe away debts. Can I have an amen? Yes. A great house is a house with many leaders. A great house, number one, has many vessels. Number two, many pastors. Three, many leaders. Because you may not be a pastor, but you can lead something. Do you see? Yes, you can lead something. The journey towards doing something for God or becoming even a pastor in the end does not begin with being a pastor. It begins with leading something. Something is committed to you and you faithfully look after it. That is it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, something is given to you and you faithfully look after it. Hallelujah. Then it says, in a great house there are vessels of gold, vessels of silver, vessels of wood, vessels of earth. So what he's saying is that, yes, our capacities, you know, may not be the same. Do you see that there is variety in the vessel type? Do you understand? But nevertheless, you're a vessel and you'll be used to do what you can do. What will not be good is to be in the great house and not be one of the vessels. But there are vessels in every great house for doing different things. So not all the vessels are gold, not all the vessels are silver, not all the vessels are wood, not all the vessels are earth. But there are vessels from the lowest kind all the way to the highest kind used for the highest purposes. Do you understand? Yes. And even says there are vessels unto dishonor. Yeah. There is still in the great house. Vessels that are used for doing the dishonorable things. Yeah. And it is true. If you've been to a home where there are elderly people, you get it, or people who suffer from incontinence and things like that, you see that there are vessels that are used for dishonorable things. But they belong to the house. And they are important vessels. Yes, they don't show up. If you come and sit on the dining table, you will not be happy. Yeah, it doesn't come to the dining table. When they are guests, it doesn't show up. Nevertheless, it is part of what keeps that house functioning. A very essential part. In fact, without that vessel, there could be a problem. No one can be in the house. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So there is no excuse for not being a vessel, for not being a container. If a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Hallelujah. So the vessels will be used by the master for work, for good work. Amen. In this church, there are many vessels. Hallelujah. And if we make ourselves available, we will all be used by the master to do some good work. All that the master is asking for is that you make yourself available so that you can also be used to do what he can do with your type of vessel. Amen. Whether your type of vessel is a student, or your type of vessel is a worker, or your type of vessel is a vessel that is only available in the afternoons, or available only in the evenings, available only once a week or twice a week, or available all day, all the time, the Lord has a work for you, a good work that you can do. Amen. A good work that you can do. Even the vessels unto dishonor have something that they do. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm talking about vessels in a home that we are not proud to display, but they exist in the home. Yes. Under the bed. Are you understanding what I'm saying? No, it's part of life. It's just you are not at that era of life. Yes. But you get to a place in life where you see that your interests have changed. Yeah, the things that concern you and the prices you'll be checking and so on, you know, different things you are looking at. Yeah. Yes. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. So, it is important, amen, it is important for us to become one of the vessels in the great house. Hallelujah. Right? In a great house is a church with many congregations. That is another feature of a great house. A church with many congregations. Many congregations. Now, congregations and congregation sizes range from a whole lot of people to just a handful of people. Do you understand? Because anything that can be gathered, starting from two. The Bible says if two or three are gathered, so God starts counting gatherings from two. In fact, show me that verse. Matthew chapter 18, I believe. Right? Wow. Matthew 18 and verse 20. Right. Okay. Beautiful. For where two or three, can you see that? Two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am in the midst of them. Now, this is one of the most important verses in the Bible, especially for working for God and even keeping yourself encouraged while you work for God. Do you understand? For keeping yourself encouraged while you're doing something for God. God says, is it in red letters in your Bible? It means it came from Jesus Christ. Red letters in the Bible doesn't mean the ink ran out. It just means that Jesus is speaking. Do you understand? Yes. So this is not an ink problem at all. This is Jesus Christ speaking. It means pay attention to these words. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So Jesus will come even if you were two. Are you getting it? Yeah. Jesus will come even if you are three. Jesus will be there. God says, I will respect the gathering, anything apart from yourself. As for you, it's a different verse he applies to. Lo, I'm with you always. Yes. Yeah, lo, I'm with you always. So that's the scripture that you use to encourage yourself. You see, but now he's saying that when you pick up another person, when you gather another person to be with you in his name, he's going to come there in a certain way. Hallelujah. Right. So when we talk about congregations, we talk about congregations ranging from different sizes. And we are saying that a great house is made up of many, many different congregations. And so in attempting to become a great house, we want to become a church that is made up of many congregations. Can I have an amen? Yes. I mean, if you are clapping, you clap. If you don't want to clap, let me preach. Do you understand? Because I am not experiencing any kind of clapping deficiency or clapping sickness, lack of clapping sickness. Do you understand? Right. So, are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. So, God, in making us attempt to do something great, is inspiring us as a church to become a church of many congregations. Do you understand? Yes. And how will these many congregations come up? First of all, mind you, great house means great pastor, many pastors. Great house means many leaders. It means more of us have to become the basis for which a congregation will begin. Are you getting it? Yes. And in the house of God, you will find that many people can become people through whom a congregation begins. Hallelujah. Why? Because of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. What is in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. What is there? It says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Can you see that? Can you flip the version, please, and give us New Living Translation or any of those new somethings? New International, New Living, New Good News, New Everything. All right? You have been believers for so long now that you ought to be teaching others. You know, look, when I was a student studying biology, they taught us that butterflies go through a process, isn't it? First, there is an egg that is laid. Then the egg, with time, transforms into larva, isn't it? And then from the larva, it becomes something called a pupa. Is that something like that? Then from there, it becomes what? So where is the caterpillar? No, egg, larva, pupa, caterpillar, and butterfly. Right. Right. They don't teach such things anymore. No, these days the butterflies just fly. Nobody knows where they come from. Yes, but in my days, they showed us where they came from. Yeah. Right. These days, they just say that they just evolution. And they are just butterflies. Take them like that. Are you understanding it? Yeah. Right. So, when you see that egg, he says an egg, then it becomes, with the passage of time, a larva, then the pupa, then the caterpillar, then a butterfly. So, the future of that egg is a butterfly. Do you get it? Yes. If it stays long enough, it's only a matter of time. Its future is a butterfly. Yes. Now, according to this verse, long-standing believers, when someone has become a believer, being a believer for a long time leads to becoming a teacher. Do you understand? I wish I had a better example. You like the butterfly one? It's good? Yeah? Okay. That when believers remain believers for a long time, what the believer becomes is a teacher. When the believer does not become a teacher, then maybe he's not a believer. Just like the egg, if it doesn't become a butterfly, then maybe it wasn't a butterfly egg. Maybe it wasn't that. Are you getting the picture? Yes. He said, look at the verse. He says, you've been believers so long now that you ought to be a teacher. Yeah, it's like you've been believers so long now that what happens to believers when they have been around for so long must happen to you. Do you get it? Yes. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be a teacher. So long now, you ought to be a teacher. When you have children who are growing up, you sort of enjoy some discounts when they say, under this, under this, under this, under this. You get it? Yes, children under 12 eat free and so on. And so, and they keep following you, and they keep following you, and you get the free. You pay for 2 adults and 3 children. Then all of a sudden, you're paying for 3 adults and 2 children. Then all of a sudden, 4 adults and 1 child. Then soon, 5 adults. Do you know what has happened? They have been around so long that they have become adults. Do you get it? So when you take them on and you see them, and sometimes you think you can pass them for children. Even the quantity they have taken will betray you. Yeah. You see, the person has a baby face. You get it? Yeah, but their plate is mature. Baby face with a mature plate. Hey! What's the name of that golden something? What's the restaurant? Golden Corral. You get it? They just, the ladies are the place, and they see the people coming. It's just, you get there, you are thinking you're going to be rung up for 3 adults and 2 kids. No, just 5 straight. 5 straight. Because when she looks at their faces and their height and their maturity, she can see ability. These people, they are anointed and can do exploits. Yes. They are coming here to attempt great things. Do you get it? So they don't accept it. That no. You can't. You have changed without knowing. Do you get it? And so you have been believers so long now that, you know, maybe you're calling yourself something else. But I said you ought to be called a teacher. You ought to be teaching others. That's what you are. You are no longer someone who needs someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. God's word. No, that's not you anymore. Yeah. You are, he says, you are like babes who need milk and cannot eat solid food. No. No. So long-standing believers, another name for long-standing believer is what? A teacher. Yes, long-standing believer is a teacher. Just like another name for long-standing child is adult. Do you get it? Someone who has been your child for at least 18 years is now called what? Adult. Yes. So they may be following you as, where are your children? Then you point to them. Yes. This is when my wife and I talk, the kids, something, the kids. And then, and when they start showing up with beard and so on. No, what we are experiencing here is not kids. It's not kids. If we were drawing a family tree, then there'll be kids. But for what we are experiencing here, no, it's not kids. Are you getting the picture? Yes. So let's face it, that we have become believers for long enough for every one of us to become a teacher. Now, if you are supposed to be a teacher, then the next question comes up, teach who? Do you understand? Yes. Who are you going to teach? Then the answer to the question becomes, form a congregation. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Form a congregation. So a great house is a house that has so many of such congregations Do you understand? Where the individuals who have been in the house, who have been taught over and over and over and over again, have now taken up their duty to become teachers and are now teaching others, starting from what God said he will respect, which is what? Two. God said, if you have two, I'll come. If you can just add yourself to another person or another person to yourself, just invite me, I'll come. In fact, he says, I'm there already. He says, there I am in the midst of them. And they have what? Gathered. So they have gathered. He's talking about a meeting. Hallelujah. And that's what we call in our church today, basentes. Are you getting it? Yes. Basentes are simply the small groups that are formed by individuals who recognize that, look, I have been a believer so long, I must be a teacher. And this is my group of people that I am teaching. Can I have an amen? Is it making sense to you? Yes, that's all we are doing. And so instead of needing someone to teach you again, yes, you will never outgrow teaching because you can see it says basic things, isn't it? There are higher things to learn in the Lord. And even in the next verse, it talks about solid meat. You see, go to verse 13. It says that strong meat or solid meat for someone who lives on milk, okay. Someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Verse 14. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So you see, even people who already now have the maturity to recognize the difference between right and wrong, it only categorizes them into the group that needs another type of food called solid food. Do you get it? So in the church, when we find those who know the difference between right and wrong, we group them together, and now they don't stop being fed. We now feed them with solid food. That's all. Because we consider them mature. So there are some things that you expect to be able to preach to certain people. When we are having leaders meeting and shepherds meeting and so on, there are certain things that you can teach because of who you are talking to. Are you getting it? Yes. When you are dealing with the mature group, you shouldn't worry about time. No, it's a matter of when you finish saying what you are saying. Are you getting it? Yes. Or the subject matter. You make certain assumptions and you teach certain things and you say certain things that you don't say in an ordinary service. Hallelujah. So we will all never outgrow the need to be taught. But it is saying that every one of those who have been believers for some time, when you've been a believer for some time, you need a congregation. You need a group to teach. Do you get it? Yes. And that is why we are now embarking on what we call our Basenta Proliferation Program. Amen. Which is that every member becomes a Basenta leader. And all of us here have all been believers for some time. Isn't it? Yes. Some have international track record. Someone like Frank. You see, he has been a believer from different churches. So, I mean, when I say different UD churches. One time I met him in Ghana. He came to introduce one of his former pastors to me. Oh, this is one of my former pastors. Frank, is that correct? The guy who came with you? Yeah. So this is my former pastor. He has served somewhere. Someone has finished attempt great things with him. Someone has read the whole book to him and taught him the whole book to the end. And then he has come to me also. And I've started from chapter one. You see, someone has taken him through losing, sacrificing. That, but Frank, is this the first time you're seeing this book here in this church? No, he has been through the end. He's lost, he has suffered, he has sacrificed, and he's dead already. And now has resurrected here in LA to start losing and sacrificing again. Hey! What a shock. Yes. What are we going to do with all this knowledge? Do you understand? It's supposed to be for teaching others. Amen. Every one of us must be eager to teach others. Amen. Yes, because that's the product you become from being a long-standing believer. Do you get it? And many long-standing believers, when they don't become teachers, then they become critics. Because a critic is someone who is teaching the opposite. That's teaching in reverse. He's pointing out what is wrong. You see, when you are pointing out what is wrong, you are teaching us, you are showing us something we can't see. Are you getting the picture? Yes. So a critic is someone who is teaching us, but is teaching the reverse. He's teaching the negatives. He's teaching the opposites. He's teaching and putting us in reverse gear instead of the forward gear. That's what a critic does. So when people don't become teachers, they just become complex to manage in a church. Hey, I tell you, I pray that God doesn't give you one of those people who knows everything in your congregation. Yes. You find some people, they know everything. One time I had a guy, he came to the church. When we finished, he came to see me here. Then he started. And he was asking, yeah. He started with the offerings. Yes, and he was talking about how I took the offerings. And he said, you remember that? Yes, he said, I forced the people to give the offering. Yes, he said, I forced people to give offering. Because the way I was calling out the offering, I don't know if I held the basket or something like that. Yeah, and he said, no, I was forcing people to give. Do you see? Yeah, that's someone who knows too much. He's choking on the things he knows. Yeah. When you have some of those people in your congregation, I tell you, it's not a small thing. They are supposed to go out and have a congregation. Yes, they are supposed to start to teach others and start to teach others and start to teach others. And we'll do better when we start to teach others. Are you getting it? We will do better as individuals when we start to teach others, right? A great house has many congregations, many different congregations, right? Then it says, a great house is a large church. A great house is a church with many branches. That's another one. And a great house is a growing church. A great house is a church with 1,000 branches. Hallelujah. So all of these, a church with many different branches and many different branches, starting from big ones, small ones, whichever we have, they must be branches and we must have them. Each small church can have its own branches, and our branches are our basantes. Are you getting it? Yes, it's an entry point into the church. When we close the service in just a few minutes, you look, go check out that tree over there, and you will find out that first of all, the tree has a big branch. The big branch has another branch. That branch has another branch. And that branch has another branch. Do you understand? And the more it spreads out, the fewer the branches become. Do you see? As you get nearer the end of it, you see that maybe that branch is just another one or just another two. Nevertheless, it's there. And that shows life. It shows the thing is growing, it is developing, and it is doing well. Hallelujah. Yes. Now, where are we going to have all these branches? Well, in the Bible days, they called them church houses, churches that met in houses. You see, let me give you a couple of examples. Let's look at the book of Romans, chapter 16. Real quick, please. Romans 16 and verse 3. Romans chapter 16 and verse 3. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, verse 5, greet the church that is in their house. Now, that doesn't sound like a very big church. Do you see? Greet the church that is in their house. Then it says, salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Send this name to Dennis and Asabia. We have another one. Tell him we have another option. Dennis, if you're watching us, please, we found another name for you. So, just so you know. Hallelujah. Are you getting the picture? It meets in their house, you see. And you find that also in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It says in verse 19, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. So Priscilla and Aquila had a church in their house, isn't it? Yes. Now Colossians, look at Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. So another name, please add Nymphas. You get it? Nymphas, he had a church in his house. Can you see that? Yes. Then Philemon chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia. Is this Apphia or Apia? It's both. Okay. All right. So please, more names for. And Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. So Philemon also had a church in his house. Can you see that? Yes. He had a church in his house. So you see that as we go on and on and on, you start to see that the church eventually breaks down to a unit in a house. So much so that when Saul started persecuting the church, you know, Acts chapter 8. I think I should just give you all these verses. I don't think we're doing anything wrong. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. It says, as for Saul, he made havoc of what? He made havoc of the church. How? Entering into where? Yes, because the church was in houses. He made havoc of the church not by entering into temples, not by going to Scandia Hall. The people were too clever at the time to meet in Scandia Hall because they knew Saul would come there. So they decided to meet in the houses. And even there, he pursued them because he suddenly saw that there were no more gatherings. So he started to go into houses. And when he went into houses, he found men and women. So gatherings of people occurring in houses is how the church operated. Hallelujah. Now, today, because of technology and because of COVID, which is also a baby of technology. Do you understand? Now we get to have these same gatherings, but online. Do you get it? But each of us can have our own gathering of people, however we will find them. Do you get it? However we'll find them. And now, instead of us all gathering, so now instead of us gathering on Wednesdays together in what we call center meetings, do you get it? Where we'll be chasing each other. Are you coming? Are you not coming? Are you not coming? No problem. No problem. We'll stop chasing you. Now you are the center yourself. Diana, you're going to have your own bus center. Isn't it? Yes. And everyone should have their own group. I'm talking to this group here. Isn't it? Yes. Because you have been believers long enough. By now, you should be a butterfly. Do you get it? Yeah. Hazel, you're going to have to teach somebody. Yes, you're going to have your own group of people that you meet, whether you meet them in person in your house, or you meet them in person somewhere, or you meet them online, is going to be your own group. Yes. Amen. Your own group. Hey, you need a group to teach. You need some people to express all the deep revelations that you have. Do you see the thing? Yeah. To check the word yeah. That's it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you need some people before whom you practice such things. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know what? When we become teachers, you know what it will eliminate? It will give us victory over the basic things. Why? Because Hebrews 5:12, bring it back. Hebrews 5:12 says that, it says that it is because you have not become a teacher that you now have created a need to be taught the basic things. Did you see that? Yeah? He says that you need someone, not that someone is just teaching you. It has become a need. When someone needs to be taught something, it means the person doesn't know it. Oh, man. It means the person is walking in a way that suggests that this person needs to be told this. It means they didn't grow up. They didn't become great because they needed someone to teach them some basic things. But if they had become teachers, they wouldn't have needed that. And they wouldn't need it because they would have had victory over those things. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look, the fastest way to grow in Christ is to become a teacher. Yes, I find that the more I teach, the more I share with people, the more I learn. I tell you, the more I teach, I tell you, sometimes when I've had some teaching sessions with certain people as well, I mean, I find myself just going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And when I come out of my room, my wife will say, hey, you like to talk. You like to talk. You can talk. It's like I like to talk. No. It's not that I like to talk, but there are a lot of things. There are things. Yeah. Remember, as the guy was pouring the oil, it kept filling each vessel. When the vessels were full and no more vessels, the oil stopped. So if you want to keep your oil flowing, you must find the next vessel to pour into. Do you understand? If you want to keep your oil flowing, you must not run out of vessels. Yeah. This morning I was watching Prophet and I was just watching him. He's just come from a camp meeting. He's been talking since Tuesday. The people just left on Friday from the camp. And Saturday, I don't know what he did, you know. But usually for most pastors, you know, there's something on Saturday. You get it? Yeah. The Ten Commandments says we must work 6 days. It just struck me the other day. It says 6 days shall thou labor. That means anything 5 days. I don't know where 5 days came from. Yeah. Who brought 5 days and 40 hours? Who brought it? That's why there's so much poverty in the world. People are not working enough. The instruction is 6 days shall thou labor, and on the seventh day you rest. And that's what God did. He worked for 6 days. Do you see the thing? Yes. So I saw him, and then this morning, as he was standing there, he had come with fresh. He's still preaching. You get it? And still preaching. And I realized that, look, the oil, as long as there's more vessels to pour into, it never stops running. It never stops running. It never stops running. It's the vessels, the empty vessels in front of you that provoke the oil. Yes. Many, many times I've come into meetings and I don't know what to preach. Even as I'm going, I'm scared. Yes. I feel, even some people invite, somebody's having a meeting. Apostle, please, we want you to come. We want you to come and say something. Just, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to say. Do you get it? I'm not like walking around with vessels, verses of scripture just... You see, Prophet was sharing, Papa Hagen actually was talking about, he said someone met him at the store or the mall, and the person asked him to either pray for him or something. He said, no, I'm not praying for you. I'm not under the anointing, especially when I'm shopping with my wife. There's no anointing here at all. Yeah, it's not like that. It's not like as I'm around, walking around, then maybe I'm thinking, no, it's not like that. But I find that even in very simple situations when I've been called, okay, come and give us something. And then when I start to speak, you get it? Then the oil just starts to run. Yes, that's it. So the oil is activated by the vessels. Do you see what I'm saying? So if you want to be anointed, get you some vessels. Then you heard the guy. He advised the woman, borrow not a few. Yeah, don't get a few. Get more. Because the more you have, the more vessels you pour into, the more the oil will flow. Yes. And another thing he said in there, which is another revelation. Let me show it to you. And we'll close. Would you like to see it? I'll show it to you. Okay. Oh, wow. Second Kings, chapter 4. Second Kings, chapter 4. And verse 4. And when thou art coming, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels. Can you see that? Then thou shalt set aside vessels that are full. Can you see that? vessel set aside that which is full. What is a vessel that is full? One that's not receiving from you anymore. I already know what you are saying, what you're going to say. He says, set that aside. Don't pour into vessels that don't want to listen to you. Don't pour into vessels that won't want to listen or don't even appreciate the new information that you are giving to them. They are not hungry for what you are about to say. Don't pour into such vessels. He says, they are full. Set it aside. Are you getting it? Yes. And you see, sometimes that is the effect of you being a vessel and receiving and receiving and receiving and not pouring out into another. Then you yourself become a vessel that is full. And because you are full, you now are at risk of being set aside. That's what happens. So you see, these long-standing believers who don't become teachers, they become vessels that are full. They can't receive anything. They are not impressed by any preaching. But you see, preaching, there's nothing new. It's the same old thing. It's just fresh. It's like, preaching is like food. If you think about your family and your house, you will know that you basically eat the same things, the set of, yes, you get it. So we all live on repetition. Do you get it? Yes. Rice today is something else tomorrow, then before long, rice is back. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. So preaching is like that. So when vessels are full, often it is because they are not hungry for what you have to say. It's not because it's repeated. Because even though you repeat the food in your house, your hunger makes that repetition cool. So it's the same food. But because you are hungry, I mean, you have the same strong appetite as the last time. I mean, why? Because what was put in there has been poured into something else. Because when people eat, you know, somebody told me yesterday that my grandmother gave her a proverb. And I couldn't understand the proverb. When she said, but the literal meaning of the proverb is that when you give food, I think she said my grandmother was trying to say that when you feed someone, you haven't accomplished anything. So it's like be generous with food. Because when you give food to someone, you've only sent them to the bathroom. It's not, don't count it among your accomplishments. So if you have food, don't hoard it. Just share it with people, you know. I understood my grandmother, man. She used to give us bread. No slicing. My grandmother didn't believe in using a knife to cut bread. She would take it and she would just break it. Whatever comes, that's yours. Then take the next one. She would put her hand and break it. And it's the next person. Oh, we loved her. Yes, because my mother, she would slice them and she would count and look at the people and just count and just slice the bread to be equal to the number of people, you know. But my grandmother, she could finish the bread and there are more people. She would just reach out for the next one. That's it. Yeah. My grandmother's motto and principle was that children must not be hungry. Yeah. So she told somebody, and the person was telling me yesterday, that, look, my grandmother said that when you give food to someone, you haven't accomplished anything. You've only sent them to the bathroom. You've given them something to take to the bathroom. So if you have food, be generous with it. Just give. Do you see? Now, because of the bathroom syndrome, because when you eat, you give out, it creates a new appetite, a new hunger again. Mm-hmm. You are not full because you ate yesterday or 2 days ago. It's gone. It's become energy. It's passed out. So people who are emptying themselves into people, they continue to remain vessels that create room for more oil. Are you getting the picture? Yes. When you don't teach anybody, now you become a sealed vessel. You are full. We set you aside. That's it. Yes. And with time, oil, when you set it aside, it becomes rancid. Yes. A few days ago, I read something, an article or some things you shouldn't buy from, these type of wholesale places. One of them was, don't buy oil in a huge can because with time it goes bad. Yeah. So when oil has been set aside, and so you see that there's some, it starts to go rancid. That's the word. And the taste and flavor changes. And you see some of these long-standing Christians, their flavor has changed. You hear comments, cynical comments they make about preachers, about pastors they used to love before, churches they have attended before. You hear these kind of funny comments and you wonder, why is this coming from someone that I used to look up to? Yes, it's from being set aside and going rancid. Do you get it? Yes. You'll make a comment. You'll see the preacher on TV. Hey, these guys, this. They are not impressed by anything. The comment they'll make, it's time for offering. These people, this, that. They are going to win souls. They've started a new church. There are no people in the church. This is so many things. They are having a crusade. Oh, all these people, they've been organized. They've been, this type of comments. It's like, what? Are you an unbeliever now? You don't believe in all these things anymore. Why don't you believe in all these things anymore? It's because you did not create emptiness in yourself for more oil to be poured. So you became full. Not eating anymore. You set aside. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I'm not bothering anybody. I'm rather giving you an opportunity. Amen. Do you get it? I'm giving you an opportunity to empty out what you have received by pouring it into another person. Do you get it? Yes. And a great house has many of such people. Amen. Amen. So when we say one man, one bus, that's what we mean. Because that bus is full of your people. This is your congregation that you have. Starting from 2. And you are going all the way up to 7 or 8 or 10. Then you're going to give half of those people to another group, another person who is within your group that you to hear, take you to empty yourself. Do you understand? Yes. And we are all emptying ourselves and emptying ourselves. You will see what the effect will be in the church, but especially on your own Christian life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. My greatest blessing has been the fact that I've had to teach, even though it was the thing I feared the most, because I was afraid. One of the reasons why I said that I was allergic to this whole subject of ministry was the fear of what to preach. I felt I wouldn't have something. What would I preach? You get it? I used to preach occasionally those days. And when I got the chance, man, I'll go to the church with my Cruden's Concordance. You know, when you see Bishop Richard next time, ask him, Apostle Joseph, I should ask you about his Cruden's Concordance. Yes. It was a big fat concordance, green one. And I'll bring it to church with my Bible. Because, you know, all the way down to just before I go to the pulpit, I'm checking verses. So, preaching occasionally, you would preach. But what I couldn't deal with, what about next week? Yeah. You see, yes. It's like some people, food, ladies, some ladies, they can make a nice dish to impress you now, but that's it. That's it. You don't even have to wait for tomorrow. You just ask for a repeat or a little extra. And you see that there's none left. This is it. It's not their habit, do you see? But we're talking about being able to provide and provide and provide and provide. But by the grace of God, as I accepted the responsibility, God has never let me down. Do you get it? God has never let me down. Do you get it? Yes, many times my problem is how to stop, like today. Yeah, many times that's the problem. The problem is how to stop, preaching once I've started. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. We are all becoming Basenta leaders. Do you understand? All of us are becoming, and we are attempting. You get it? Attempting. Even if we are struggling with it, at least we are attempting something great. Anyone who says we are struggling, shame on them, because they are not attempting anything. What are you attempting that you're coming to laugh at me who is attempting something great? I'm trying to build a great house, and a great house has many vessels. So I've chosen to be one of those vessels, and I'm trying to have my small group. And God has assured me that if I can get just one extra person, if two, I will be there. So you, something that God has respected to come from heaven to attend, you are standing here with your proud mouth and your full vessel self and rancid oil, set aside status, and you are coming to criticize what I'm doing. You keep talking and keep watching. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's what we're going to use, whether it's Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, even Friday for. Do you understand? And we meet together on Sunday with those people. Do you get it? So that group that you meet during the week, you teach, you share with them, by all means, share something. Don't let Sunday to Sunday go by without sharing something with anybody. Remember that your oil will go stale if it doesn't flow to somebody else. It must flow to somebody else to protect you. Do you get it? To protect you. And also to create room for next Sunday when you come. So it must go out. It must go out. So by all means, we must find somebody and teach. We are all going to have and be shepherds of people. Groups of people. Amen. Groups of people. Let's put all our status aside, pastor, reverend, whatever. Just put all of those things aside. And let's just become pure people who can just lead, vessels that can lead and have a group of people to teach. After that, we'll find good names for ourselves. What do you think? Hallelujah. So we are starting that this week. Amen. It calls for some evangelism. Yeah, you just decide I'm going to do this. You see, you'll be doing all the right things. You find you need to have some people. So you find yourself having to go out, evangelize, witness to someone, and then ask the person to meet you online. He may or may not come. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up at all. Just keep at it. Just keep at it. Church work is like that. You need patience. And you need determination. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. You may not know, but we read in the morning, it groweth. Do you understand? It groweth. It groweth. And one day you see the baby. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. I managed to find a good place to stop. So we can take the opportunity to bring the service to a close. Say amen. Amen. Are you blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Let us pray, everybody. Bow your heads and say, Lord, make me a vessel in this great house. Make me one of the vessels in this great house. I want to be one of those who makes this house great. I want to have my basenta. I want to have my little congregation, my congregation, my church that meets in the house. My church, my congregation. Yes. Yes. Even some of them may be young children. Some of them recently have started teaching some young children, you know, and I really enjoy it. You know, I think Kanyu is in that group. Kanyu, you're in that group, right? Does it work? Did you enjoy the sessions? Yes. They are like Kanyu's age and a couple of years, a little ahead of her, you know. And I teach them these days on Saturday mornings. You know what I'm teaching them? I started to teach. Kanyu, what are we learning? What is the book we are teaching from? What it means to become a shepherd. Yeah, that's what we're learning. You know, and I'm amazed that they understand it. And they're just flowing. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Then he said, feed my lambs. Do you get it? So everybody can teach sheep and lambs. So don't despise the lambs, because the lambs also must be fed. In our show of love for Jesus, the lambs also must be fed. So don't worry. The lambs will eventually become sheep. You see, one day you can't call them lamb anymore. You look at the person, you say, oh no. Just like when you go to IHOP. They look at you, they say, you call them kids. That's when you get home. Over here, five adults. Hallelujah. Right. So let's pray. Everybody just pray and say, Lord, make me one of those servants in the name of Jesus. Everybody pray. Jesus, make me one of those servants in the name of Jesus. Make me a servant. Make me a servant. Make me a Now I want to give you an opportunity, if you're here or you're online, but you know in your heart that you are not saved and you want to give your life to Jesus, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus. Say it with me, everybody. Everybody join us as we say this prayer. Say it with me, Lord Jesus. I know I'm a sinner. Because I'm convicted of it. My heart tells me I'm a sinner. And I know it is the Holy Spirit. So Lord, I come to you. I confess all my sins. And I ask for your mercy, Lord. I ask for your forgiveness, Lord. Please have mercy on me. Please forgive me, Lord. And cleanse me from my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for making me a child of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Though you are king, you bow down and worship me. You are the servant of all. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord.